Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke weed every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Hey, how you doing? This is Sean from Youth Brigade. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
I be blacking out with the purest. I made 100,000, then I freaked it. I made 500,000, then I freaked it. I bought an 87 for the weekend. This ain't what you want, this ain't what you want.
And it's like that little bitch, MVP, I don't get no sleep, no, I don't like that little bitch. Bust that open, I want that ocean, yeah, that bite back, little bitch. Do it, bite back, little bitch, need two life jackets, little bitch. I ain't gon' hold you, I ain't gon' pressure, never control you. I ain't gon' front you, keep it 100, I don't know you. Boss like top dog, boss my life up, crossing over. Stutter stepping, got a hall of fame and all my poster. I've been ready, my whip been ready, my bitch been ready, my click been ready, my shit's been ready, my checks been ready, my shots on full, that's Armageddon. I got pull, I hope y'all ready, my tank on full, you know unleaded. I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it. My name gon' hold up, my team gon' hold up, my name gon' hold up, my team gon' hold up, my shots gon' fire, my team gon' roll up, my Nazi twice, my queen gon' roll up. I hope y'all ready, you know I'm ready, I rain all day, you know confetti. I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it.
Miss me with that bullshit. Bullshit.
You're not a gang member, you're a tourist.
A tourist.
I be blacking out, I be blacking out. Bought a 83 Cutlass for the weekend.
For the weekend.
I got 100,000 and I freaked it.
And I freaked it.
I made 500,000 and I freaked it.
And I freaked it.
I put a Rolls Royce on my wrist, oh yeah. Fuck his baby mama trying to sneak this. I took her to my penthouse and I freaked it.
And I freaked it.
I haven't made my mind up, should I keep it?
Should I keep it?
I got big dog status, it ain't no secret. Lady daddy da, slime on me now. Pass me some syrup, fuck me in the car. Lady daddy da, motherfucker law. Genie, genie, bang, murder everything.
Bitch, I'm on the roll and I put that on the game.
Yeah, miss me with that bullshit.
Bullshit.
You ain't really wild, you a tourist.
A tourist.
I made 100,000, then I freaked it.
I freaked it.
I made 500,000, then I freaked it.
I freaked it.
I bought an 87 for the weekend.
The weekend.
This ain't what you want, this ain't what you want.
What you want.
This ain't what you want, this ain't what you want.
What you want.
Good morning. Yeah, with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. We do this every week, Thursday from 7 to 8. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam and Coast Salish territory here live from UBC's campus. And the beautiful, beautiful studio we have here. If you've never listened to the show, you're in for a treat. We have a very, very packed show today. I usually wait to get the phone number out, but if you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-UBC-CITR or 822-2487, whichever makes it easiest for you to participate, because here at Off the Beaten Path, what we like to do here is, if you've never listened to the show, we bring sometimes some really smart people. We do some interviews, comedians or artists or directors, or sometimes I just have some of my friends who may, I'm kidding, they are, we just really have some smart people in here talking about a lot of different topics from local news to pop culture, from to national news, sports, anything that we feel you all need to hear going into your weekend. It's become increasingly difficult to try to tease apart the news, particularly if you are just like, if you're just like a casual, you know, you're just a regular person. You want to be informed. You want to know what's going on. And you don't really want to bog yourself down and read every single think piece, read every single news article, try to figure out where the truth is at. You know where you can come? You can come here to Off the Beaten Path, because that's what we tell you. We tell you what is exactly going on here. And that's just, if you've listened to the show, we know we like to really get started with the weather, because I never really explain why I like to get started with the weather. It's a element that everybody can agree with. There's no bipartisan issues with the weather. There might be with climate change or, you know, that idea. But listen, but the weather, everybody has to know what's going on, no matter where you're at. And if you live in Vancouver and you probably have a better idea than I did, because when I walked out of the house this morning, I forgot the one thing which you can't do in January in Vancouver, because it's practically a given. So my lack of preparedness really shows a lack of foresight. But if you think about it from my perspective, I was trying to make sure that you all would have the best 1 hour show that you could get. And so all of my focus was there, and my concentration was thinking about which stories I wanted to bring to you and how do I want to tell them. And I forgot my umbrella, because for the next 14 days until the 4th, there is at least an 80% chance of precipitation with a high of 8 today and a low of 4, which will be midweek next week. Potentially some snow showers here in Vancouver. And if you're not listening to Vancouver, we don't get snow here in the city very much. And when you do, you do your best to stay at home. So as I look forward, I will be keeping an eye on Thursday and Friday, the 25th and 26th, because I do not want to be outside. Not that I don't like the snow, because if you're from the East Coast, you just got hit with a big snowstorm. So if you're listening from the East Coast and you just got hit with some snow, I don't know if it's a big snowstorm, but big enough to cancel flights and cause an inconvenience for my mother. But here we don't get that type of snow. We don't get the pretty snow. You can drive to it. You can drive to very, very pretty snow. But here in the city, we get the slushy, rain, cold, really wet snow. There's not even enough inches for you to play in it. It's just something you have to deal with, and it's gross and inconvenient. But at least it's not cold like it could possibly be in elsewhere. It's like the Midwest or the East Coast. Let's just get right into it here in Vancouver. So we like to start with the local news and really what's going on. Here last week, we talked about Gregor Robertson's last hurrah, like his last surge as the mayor of Vancouver, he spent 10 years as the mayor, and I'm sure he probably wants to get on to some other aspects of his life. And we want to get on to other stories as well, because, you know, that's last week's news. So there's been some interesting stories this week. You know, here in Vancouver, we talk about homelessness, we talk about drugs, and we talk about two things: homelessness, drugs, and housing. But occasionally, we always get a I'm not going to say a fourth story, but sometimes we are given just the little bit of nuance in the stories. And so this one is about the oil pipelines, which we haven't talked about, you know, in a great deals. We mentioned like Site C. We talk about the dams. We talk about the potential pipelines, but not here in the province. And they're continuing to try to push through the Kinder Morgan pipeline. If you don't know, the Kinder Morgan pipeline is a pipeline that goes to BC's coast from Alberta. And to build it, they essentially have to build through land that belongs to First Nations. And they're just continuing to try to push through and push through as they talk about what it will bring to the province. And we know from last year that'll increase the tanker traffic like three times. So when you look out here now at Kitts Beach or look out at English Bay and you see the tankers, you know, 16, 17 tankers lined up to make that run, what we will see is more tankers. So we'll see. They said up to three times. They said three times. So, you know, I think when the conservative estimate is three times, we should probably think about five times. And that's five times more chances for a oil spill to happen. So that's something that we continue to look into. And but the real news is that it is over a year behind on the construction, so they haven't been able to secure the permits, and it almost feels as if it's never going to get done. Like this is just some bureaucratic circle. I feel like you can tell where I'm finished. I don't, you know, there's things I am not afraid to say on the radio, but some things you got to be careful because you never know who's listening. You never know who's listening. And it'll be interesting to see as people continue to, as it moves away from, I guess, the inception point of the Kinder Morgan pipeline, it'll be interesting to see what is the momentum of the opposition to the pipeline. Because in this era of just massive news, and we'll get to this a little bit later, where just news is just heaped on. There's just always something. It seems that we can get, as people can get fatigue, and the fatigue, instead of, I guess, maybe causing us to try to look and to focus on one thing, we realize that we're fighting battles on lots of different fronts. And so people typically either pick one and ride real hard for that issue, or they really let lots of issues fall to the wayside. And both of those can be detrimental to like success that we want to see, because not everybody has the energy to fight for one issue, and sometimes it's not enough support. So it'll be interesting to see as this continues, because people are not particularly in British Columbia, not very polarized. Like people here in BC, we want our environment to stay pristine. We want our waterways clean. We want the mountains, the grass plains, whatever the hell is like 2 hours north of Vancouver, 3 hours north, because I don't essentially know what is 2-3 hours north into the interior. But I heard it's beautiful, and just knowing that it's beautiful makes me feel good, and I would like to keep it that way. And there's lots of, and if you look at the statistics, lots of British Columbians feel this way. But those dirty Albertans don't give a damn about British Columbia or the nature that we have access to. So this is going to be something that is continuing to fight. We need to be less passive. In the next story, this is maybe not as serious, but it will lead into something more serious. So a pet owner here in British Columbia had a nightmare because she woke up to find her 13-year-old pug with some issues. The pug couldn't stand up. It was woozy. It went in her kitchen and went through the pantry drawer, ate all of the Fritos and Cheetos that they could find, and really was started to be sluggish, binge-watched a few shows on Netflix, and then that's when it clicked. The owner realized the dog ate all the munchies. Now, this is really scary because the owner even considered putting the dog down, like considered taking the dog into the veterinarian because the dog has had some back issues and thought that maybe it slipped a disc or the dog was in incredible pain. But when it realized that the dog had just eaten some of the munchies and had greened out, owners were relieved. So this is a PSA. Keep your munchies away from your dog. Also, munchies are expensive. So why are you letting your dog eat them? I feel like that is a waste of perfectly good weed. And in an era where people are trying to take away the fun of weed, I feel that putting them in, you know, in brownies and all types of other sweets or goods is still an okay way to consume cannabis. But you got to be careful. There's also, I guess this is getting a little off tangent, but there's also dog treats, dog cannabis dog treats. Obviously, they're specifically for dogs because they're cannabis dog treats. But it seems interesting. Like, I wonder, as we get to the future, not the future, we're here, we're in the future. As the marijuana market continues to get more and more, not just regulated, or sophisticated, but just more, I don't know. I feel like you guys are picking up what I'm putting down. This happens a lot where people listen to me talking, we just put it together. Sometimes the words don't even need to be said. And I feel like it might work the same way through radio, but as the market gets more mature, or less mature, I think we're going to start seeing a lot of different uses for cannabis, like cannabis for your dogs, cannabis for your birds, probably cannabis for all types of stuff. Where it should really, it's just essentially, it's the same as when people used to smoke weed in the house and blow weed in the dog's face, and the dog, you know, sometimes gets acts a little weird. Sometimes it goes and chills and goes to sleep. You guys just need to be careful, because while you think it might be funny to give your dog weed, remember, chocolate is still effing deadly for your dog. Unless your dog decides to eat Milky Way, which like my dog did. But moving on to something a little more serious that does have to do with the drugs here in Vancouver. So last year in British Columbia, we saw over 1,100 overdoses, which is a crazy amount. And this year, and it's just been increasing over and over and over and over, year over year. So it's something that not only have people take notice to, but people have been urging doctors to try to make these drugs safer. So to try to give people a safe place to do them. Now, this is not only here in British Columbia, but this is something that has been taking hold all over North America. It might be happening in Europe. I don't know. But we're talking about North America, where opioid crisis, it seems to have not only been an immediate crisis that we still haven't really done a great job of addressing, but I feel like we have been talking about opioids for almost 3 years, 4 years. It's been a really long time. When you look back and you start to think about even that, I would say the defining moment where I felt that opioid crisis came to the mainstream is when Governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, was talking about his friend who died of an opioid overdose. And it really came out as this sympathetic feeling and ideal for the people who have been afflicted from this drug use. And I remember talking about it in the context that I agree that these people need some sympathy and it needs to be taken action on. But from that perspective, there was never, ever that type of sympathy shown for people who were addicted to crack or during the war on drugs. And the whole language seemed to change right then. And so after Chris Christie made that speech at the town hall, I thought that we were going to see some sweeping changes, not only in America, but I felt like everywhere. And in Vancouver, where there are needle exchanges, and it's pretty, I would say, pretty liberal for when it comes to drugs, we still have doctors urging health officials to be able to provide people afflicted with the addiction with clean heroin, because it's not impurities. Like there's poison in people's drugs, and there needs to be something done about that, because while drugs really bring down people, like they bring down the people who are afflicted, and anybody can be touched by them. It only takes, you can come back from doing drugs. Like, I feel that there are people who come back from doing drugs. Last week I learned one of my favorite celebrities smoked crack. And you would never guess that this woman smoked crack because she's successful as shit. But she came back. She made it back. The one thing you can't make it back from is fentanyl, because it'll kill you. Like, people who are dying don't actually nobody actually needs to die, but there just has to be something done where people are more safe and are able to use their recreational drugs and not have to be worried that they are going to die of fentanyl. Because while you might be listening to this radio station and you're up at 7:20 or 10:20 or 9:20, whenever you're on the radio, you might not be affected personally, but eventually it seems that everybody will be touched, because it's not going away anytime soon, and the only thing we can do is try to make it safer for the people who use these drugs. When we get back, we are going to talk a little bit about Drake, a little bit about some things that Canada has ruled that it just will not stand for anymore. And then we're going to move on to some a little touchier conversations. Aziz Ansari and what sexual assault actually means and the conversation. So stay tuned. Playing some new music for you, and we'll be back.
Cleansing for the soul.
If there's any lesson we can take from High School Musical, it's that the arts are a vital part of any community. Join the CITR Arts Collective to see movies, theater, dance, or live comedy shows and share your thoughts on air. The Arts Report airs every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Email volunteer@citr.ca to get involved.
This is Noah from Christ on Parade, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC, Canada.
Where's that? Girl, it's so nice to meet you. Don't want to come across eager, but real talk, I'm feeling your features. Your body shape got more bass than a speaker. Girl, I can see you're down, but I ain't about to let that defeat you. Cause when you're down with me, forget all of your troubles. And let's live in a moment. When one door closes, another one opens. So let's live in a moment. No point holding to what's broken. So let's live in a moment. When one door closes, another one opens. Stop trying to control it and start living in the moment. You've been wasting day in.
in the basement. I think it's time you replace them with a young brother that will treat you amazing. Let me upgrade your day, we're all basic. Don't carry the weight of all of the problems you had yesterday, and let me come and put a smile on the face. Forget all of your troubles, and let's live in a moment. When one door closes, another one opens. So let's live in a moment. No point holding to what's broken. So let's live in a moment. When one door closes, another one opens. Stop trying to control it and start living in the moment.
Okay. Yeah. Gotta get ya, uh-huh. Views me, flip me, be my baby, uh-huh. Got the eye on London, I grab your thigh until you bring it back one time, and uh-huh. Stroke it, once you get up on it, cause I know it fire. And you know I ain't gon' let you send that murder heavy. I'm addicted to your nature like your name again. I'm addicted to the body, look at what you started. I need you like the devil needs soul, and there it goes in the open. You should let me control and put your mind to the side and put your heart in the boat. Until you're tight, and I promise I ain't losing the fool. Any woman know you got dirty. Yeah, we should until I hit us both dead feet. All I really want is money, wealth, and the truth. And I never lie when I'm testifying in the
booth. And let's live in a moment. Yeah. When one door closes, another one opens. So moment. Let's live in a moment. No point holding to what's broken. So let's live in a moment. When one door closes, another one opens. Stop trying to control it.
You're back at Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, East Aaron. And we do this every week. If you like my voice and you like to hear me and some of the music I play, you can find it on CITR.ca/off the beaten path. You can listen to some music on crimesandtreasons.com. It is the hip hop show here in Canada on Tuesdays from 8 to 10 with DJ Relly Rels, myself, Horsepower, Jamal Steeles, and homeboy Jules. This past week, episode, I introduced some go-go music, which is our, when I say our, it's like a DC's music. The only thing we got left, guys, the only thing we got left, we got to support it. The last original art form that we can protect. If you know what I mean, then you know what I mean. It doesn't have to be explained. But what you just heard was Craig David, Gold Link, and K-Tronada. Now, I know K-Tronada and Gold Link were still making music because they're pretty new, but Craig David, I didn't know that guy was, as one of my favorite radio guys would say, still in the league, because I don't know when's the last time I heard a Craig David song, and I don't know when's the last time I heard a Craig David song that wasn't 7 days. Back to the news. Back to what's going on. So if you are a Toronto Raptors fan, you'll know that Drake has been like, he's like the global ambassador of Toronto, kinda. But he is officially like the mascot for the Raptors. Like, I don't know if he's a mascot or if he's like a partner or what exactly he does, but he just extended his contract. It's crazy because how the hell does Drake have an NBA contract? I would like to see the terms of this, but he extended his contract, and so the Raptors are going to host OVO Days. They're going to host I guess Drake gets, he already has some Jordan, so he's going to be able to design the jerseys. They're going to design a court, an OVO basketball court now. And one of the good things that I guess that Drake is going to do is they're going to spend $3 million to refurbish some basketball courts in the Toronto area. It seems that there's a heavy push while, I guess, black people continue to flee the South. And by the South, I mean America, and head to Canada. There's a push to try to solidify the Canadians' place in the basketball global sphere. If you didn't know, basketball was invented in Canada, and then quickly they were dominated. I look at the Canadian basketball team, like the Washington Generals, and the American basketball team as the Globetrotters. Like, it's just jokes and jokes. But you can't be like that forever, and I feel that this is Canada's last push. This is like their war on 1812. They're trying to steal basketball, and so they're trying to drum up some interest and through Drake. And I guess if you're Canadian and you see Drake, you know, then maybe that gives you some incentive to watch more Toronto Raptors basketball. Even in Canada, I still can't seem to watch them play. It's the only basketball that they actually play here for most of the games. They replay the game, so even when I want to miss it because I'm on the West Coast, I'll end up sitting at a bar and it'll be 9 o'clock, and instead of having the, you know, the Rockets or the Clippers or the Warriors or, you know, one of the other West Coast teams that people would like to see, they will have the damn Raptors on. And then it got me thinking about, this is like almost like a pretty, it's a pretty popular thing. And I wonder how much more popular it's going to get, because we've always had celebrities, particularly rappers, sort of be unofficial spokespeople for their basketball teams. If you like watch, you know the Lakers, you know that, you know, Kendrick Lamar is a big fan. Even Jay-Z owned a part of the Brooklyn Nets, and I think that was more monetary and is more about status than it was actually about being a fan of the Nets, because who the hell is a fan? Who the hell is a Nets fan? Like, I don't know if I've ever met one of those people who's like unequivocally just says, you know what, I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan, and I've been a Nets fan since they were in New Jersey. Jason Kidd and Kendall Gill, those have been my guys, been riding with them. I just don't feel like those people exist. But it'd be interesting if you could go through each of the cities and you could find which rapper or rap group or entertainer in general would represent the city. Like, I know in Cleveland, they got MGK, and I feel like that's enough for me to never claim myself as a Cleveland fan. But in D.C., we got Wale, and I feel that he's a little too whiny for me to be somebody who's associated with that either. So if you'd like to call in and tell me what city you root for and which rapper you would most likely be associated with and how you feel about that, you can call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Because if I was a Raptors fan, seeing Drake and seeing an OVO outfit, an OVO uniform, OVO 10s, whatever other Jordans he has, with that, it's not even like a gold, it's more of a tan. It's almost like he took his skin complexion and then put it on a sneaker, but that's neither here nor there. And, you know, I don't like to get on this Canadian speaker box and talk ill about Drake, because these people take that shit serious. So, moving on. This is just a quick note, but if you are a Vancouver resident, you should take a look at the CBC's website. They want you to vote on these 5 transportation projects that they are going to bid on. Each one of them will cause you some stress, because one is on the Georgia on Georgia Street as it goes towards the Lionsgate Bridge. One is some improvements made on the Cambie Street Bridge. Some are some improvements made in Yale Town on some loop. Some on Pacific Drive. Anyways, all of these potential projects look like they'll take years and years and years, just like the Burrard Street Bridge. And we guarantee to take, you know, give you some gray hairs because of the traffic. However, you know, in 5 or 6 years, you will save about 5 minutes. So go ahead and look at the benefits, and when you get back, then you can tell the BC Transportation Department what you would like to see postponed, because that's really what happens. We get construction. It takes forever. And then it never gets done. Before we get into some of the little heavier topics, we're going to talk about, you know, it's tax season, so get your taxes ready. Here in Vancouver, tax season has already begun, and in the States, it doesn't start for a few months. But if you, like me, have made some investments in some cryptocurrencies, don't forget to pay taxes on those as well. And also, be aware that when there is windfall profits, that means there are scammers coming. And recently, over the past certain amount, out of the past like few months, they said that there's been over $125,000 worth of scamming that's going on. People talking about the potential tax liabilities and getting the information and stealing Bitcoins. I thought about this morning when I was listening to an NPR story about Bitcoin scammers and what potentially Bitcoin can cost people. And it made me think about these people who have made millions of dollars on Bitcoin, if they can even afford to pay the taxes on their Bitcoins, what would happen if the tax authority made a decision that you might have to, you know, just like a property tax, if you own a property and it depreciates, you know, hundreds of millions of, you know, millions of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars, you have to pay taxes on the gains. And if you can't afford to pay the tax on the gains, would you then have to sell your Bitcoin at a discount? And I think that's a potential something for people to look into. So if you listen to the show and you got a lot of money, you know, that might be a scam you should think about getting behind. Not even a scam, but just a scheme. Now, is the difference between a scam and a scheme? If you know the difference between a scam and a scheme, call in at 604-822-2487. I want to hear people's definition, because I kind of feel like a scam is illegal and a scheme is immoral. And while they can be the same thing, they don't have to be. But be aware that around this time, fraud and illegal activity does ramp it up, because people know that there's lots of cash. People are going to have refunds, and people are stupid. And when we get back, we're going not only to talk about people being stupid, but people being ignorant and not knowing their boundaries. It'll be interesting. You might get mad, or you might agree. It's really hard to be on both sides of some of these issues, and sometimes you have to take a stance. So when we get back,
out there will be smashed to bits. Use your emergency equipment.
It won't work. Nothing works. It's got to. It's no use. Everything seems to be stuck.
My life's worth a try anyway.
Come on, fellas. You can make it.
Just listen to this. Spider-Man saves freighter. You can't tell me the captain couldn't have brought his ship in without the help of that publicity-seeking show-off, Spider-Man!
Don't get caught wasting power. Unplug cell phone, camera, and other battery chargers when charging is complete. Many electronic devices continue to use power even when you are not operating them. The amount of energy consumed by electronics in a year when they were not in use could power Whistler Blackcomb Resorts for 43 years. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
With Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
Confusion like I'm a chain. Melanin skin, she don't need a tan. I'll do anything just to be your man. I can make it chilly like the weatherman. Four seasons, one reason. I don't change, girl, the one I'm needing. In the winter time, you give me chills like that. In the winter time, you give me chills like that. Though
it's gonna be a cold winter. See, I've been thinking all summer. See, riding alone, crossing the lawn. It's gonna be a long winter. Get it? I ain't got four reasons, I give you one reason, say I'm coming with it. If it's time, then it's time, say you know, girl, say we gon' kill it, yeah. I'm superstitious, so me never let go, only I know, body like, whoa, so give her a round of applause when she shut down. It's you for the winter, you on lockdown. Miss melanin skin, calm down, settling down. Settling
confusion like I'm a tan. Melanin skin, she don't need a tan. I'll do anything just to be your man. I can make it chilly like the weatherman. Four seasons, one reason. I don't change, girl, the one I'm needing. In the wintertime, you give me chills like that. In the wintertime, you give me chills like that. Swimming in the water like I'm Nemo. Deeper than ever and it's chilly sub-zero. Superman with a cape on, your hero. Got me smiling like a trapper, but I just got a kilo. Like the four seasons, I'm never changing. Oxygen I need, there's no replacing that. Kinda stuck in my head, there's no erasing that. That's good, you just got it like that. This could be yours, but you playing. Got me confessing like I'm Raymond. We don't wanna dumb me down a little, so that's turning up a notch. Let's love what we have and cherish what we got, so that we can just take a little higher. We gon' last till the end and never expire. Four seasons, I know you coming right back. Play your position, hold you right back. Confusion like I'm a tan. Melanin skin, she don't need a tan. I'll do anything just to be your man. I can make it chilly like the weatherman. Four seasons, one reason. I don't change, girl, the one I'm needing. In the wintertime, you give me chills like that. In the wintertime, you give me chills like that. Though I
one season, no season, no. One reason, four seasons. You give me chills, though.
Confusion like I'm a tan. Melanin skin, she don't need a tan. I'll do anything just to be your man. I can make it chilly like the weatherman. Four seasons, one reason. I don't change, girl, the one I'm needing. In the wintertime, you give me chills like that. In the wintertime, you give me chills like that. Confusion like I'm a tan. Melanin skin, she don't need a tan. Like the weatherman. Four seasons, one reason. I don't change, girl, the one I'm needing. In the wintertime, you give me chills like that. In the wintertime, you give me chills like that.
You're back with Off the Main Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And before we get into something serious, I felt like that we... There's so much news that we just get exhausted. It just comes bang, bang, bang all the time. So like even to a few days ago, it came out that our current president of the United States, the current president of the United States, was sexing porn stars. Not only was he having sex with porn stars, he compared the porn star to his daughter, and then he told her that she doesn't have to pay him. And while, like, it's very interesting because Donald Trump is the president. And so, you know, he essentially is the most, I don't know if most powerful would be the right word, but he's definitely, like, got the most cachet in the United States. And over the past few days, this report came out. It also came out a report that Apple is bringing back 20,000 jobs and going to open up a plant here in the States. With Wise crediting the tax reform as a reason for bringing these jobs back in over $350 billion. That's over $250 billion in economic stimulus to the United States. And where it's interesting, like where people rank the contributions of the president and the contributions of the president and the and politics in general, because on one hand, people would definitely agree that bringing 20,000 jobs from Apple to back to the United States, where Apple is like a big example of the types of like new age global economy we've seen, where they can continually stash billions and billions of dollars overseas so that they can avoid paying taxes, which I think is probably the least American thing that you can do, because you can't talk about what you want to do as an American and how you want to help if you are just you just refuse to pay taxes. Because if you care about America so much, you should be excited about paying taxes and paying your fair share about into it. And so bringing that back, but then also we have, you know, the president saying so many awful things and putting it, not only just saying awful things, but actually putting action behind these awful things. You know, deporting families, like we saw in the news yesterday, a man who was deported after he's raised his kids here and he's lived in America for 30 years and pays taxes and owns a home and all of these other things, and he's being deported. And we've seen I saw yesterday this Haitian immigrant is, after being here for 31 years, is being deported. You know, it's crazy. My father has been in America for over three decades as well, and he's not a citizen. And it would be a tragedy, even though, you know, I mean, we're not gonna get there, but it would be that would be sad. So we see like lives are really being affected by some of his policies, but the tax reform is good. So, I mean, not the tax reform is good, but the tax reform shown by example of what Apple was willing to do after that. And you could tell in the interview that Wise absolutely did not want to credit the administration or the politics for it. But I don't think that you can argue that that would have happened otherwise. So it's interesting as like the stories come out and we get led with stories about porn stars and this Russia investigation. And I feel like so much news has just come at us that it's hard to keep up, that when we get a story like, you know, Aziz Ansari, particularly one that has come, you know, I would say as we've seen like a year of a constant, consistent effort to like big up feminist issues and issues pertaining to women, starting really with the election of the president last year and after the Women's March, you know, this is just the natural progression of where the conversation has gone. And I think because, you know, I'm not Aziz Ansari, so like this is not happening on my behalf, or, you know, particularly on the woman. It's not on the woman who was afflicted by the date and the story that she told. I guess this is like the necessary next level of the conversation. And you can see from the, the aftermath that it is pretty divided. So if you don't know, a story came out on babe.net, I think on Sunday, it might have been over the weekend, where a woman talked about her encounter with Aziz. She met him at a party in L.A., and when they got back to New York, they went on a date. She didn't seem to be having a good time on the date, the entire date, and then goes back to his apartment and continues to, you know, and that's where it gets kind of blurry. You know, she's not having a good time, and she's not having a good time. Aziz, you know, it was just very persistent, just over and over and over. So you can read the story on the internet, but it has led to a conversation about, you know, what exactly is it, like, when is sexual assault like assault, and when is it just a unfortunate, I guess, situation between two people. And if you have read, there's so many different opinions on it, but the one thing that I always try to maintain in these situations is that the people's feelings are valid. Like, I feel that, you know, while not the same, there are so many things that happen to me, particularly on a weekly basis, where somebody says something very questionable, or I'm put in a very questionable situation about, particularly about racism, and, you know, and looking at how I react to those situations, you know, I see it when I tell people about what happened to me. You know, obviously there's some more egregious than others, where people are like, holy shit, I can't believe that happened. Like, that's racist as AF. Or, you know, if they might not think about it, they might say, I don't know, Issa, you know, is that really racist, or are you, you know, just being sensitive? And so those are the constant things that I have to think about. So I don't want to illegitimize someone's feelings, you know, when obviously this woman felt strongly enough that she wanted to write, that she wanted to, you know, put her story out there, you know, just about how uncomfortable she felt going back to his apartment, and how uncomfortable she felt with him, and how he wasn't reading these cues and continuing to press on. And while she was a willing participant, it felt more like coercion and abuse of his power. And I feel like that they can both be true, while understanding that, yo, there's people who can't even figure out that you don't even want to be in a conversation with them. Like, there will be someone who will stand up in your face and will talk to you for minutes and minutes, tens of minutes. I mean, I'm sure every single person listening to this radio station has been stuck in a conversation with somebody where your body language clearly indicated that this conversation was over. You turn your back, you know, you're not making eye contact with this person. It happens a lot when this person's breath stinks, but sometimes you just don't want to be in a conversation with them, and they just don't understand the cues that this conversation is over. And so if people can't understand when a conversation is over, I think that we have a long way to go before people can, men particularly need to understand, okay, this isn't what I thought it was. And not only do I need to take a step back, I probably should leave, because that's really the only solution, is that Aziz should have noticed from the beginning that she wasn't that into it, and probably should have put her out. Or, yeah, you know, should have been like, if that was his goal, was to only, you know, have sex at night, you know, once she realized that she wasn't really into having sex, he should just be out. I mean, not only is Aziz like a celebrity, and, you know, he has the ability to, I'm sure, you know, pick up somebody else, but just for the fact that you should just care about this individual that I'm spending time with at this very moment, it doesn't seem to be into the same thing that I'm into. Like, if I want to have sex and this person doesn't want to, or this person is uneasy, then you need to exit this situation, because sex is a lot better when people are not only just enthusiastic about it, but very, very enthusiastic about it. And that's something that people need to understand, is that there's no secret. You know, it's not a secret. So if we do a better job about communicating, not just in the sexual situation, but just all situations where you feel like you don't want to be there, making it like a comfortable conversation. Well, I don't think it has to be a comfortable conversation. It has to be a necessary conversation where you're just like, you know, I can tell that you not want the same thing I do, or whether this is a conversation, or whether this is playing a video game, or this is, you know, cuddling, or even like a hug. Like, there's so many times, even now, like, looking at the way that people deal with children, about like making them hug relatives or making them hug people that they don't want to, or making them, you know, give kiss on the cheek. Like, those are all violations of people's privacy and privacy and private spaces. And you don't have to be a participant, even, you know, when you don't want to. And you should be able to tell, as a man, me and other men, you should be able to tell when somebody is into it and when they're not into it. And respect that and just move on. And I don't think that, and while I think that the conversation is necessary, because it's interesting, because I don't know if in the past 1 year period I've ever had as many conversations with my male friends, or even with my female friends, about sexual assault and what does that look like, you know, and what are some things that make people uncomfortable, and like in voicing these and talking to my guy friends about, you know, our behavior. And while I don't think that Aziz Ansari's reputation is ruined, or I mean, most of the people talking about him don't even know that Aziz doesn't give a shit about us. You know, he's rich and famous. Like, he will be all right. But I think that the conversation is better because men are more having this conversation among men, and that can only lead to good things, unless you're in one of those male conversations that are just talking about how they feel they're scared to have sex now, which may be a good thing, because those types of people seem to have been committing some of these occurrences probably, and they probably didn't even know it. So if they're scared, then maybe they should be, and that's a good thing. We only have 3 more minutes to get through all this stuff. So you know how I like to pick, I have to pick the best story, because there's so much. So over the week, I saw a story about a man nearly burning down his apartment trying to kill a spider with a blowtorch. And so you guys understand how much I love animals, you know, how much I love animals, you know, just trying to take back the small semblance of, I don't want to say humanity, because they're not humans, but take back the small, take back, just take back a little bit of the planet for themselves. And so looking for the story, I didn't know that this is actually a common occurrence. It's common for people to try to kill spiders with blowtorches, and not only try to kill spiders with blowtorches, but end up burning their own house down. Like, this happens pretty much once a year. If you go Google it, you can find out that this happens everywhere. I don't know if the spiders are winning so much, because it seems that they are dying in the process. However, they are doing, it's almost, spiders are like almost like the suicide bombers of the animal kingdom. You know, they're willing to sacrifice themselves. You know what? I thought about that. Didn't think that was a good direction. But speaking of buildings that caught on fire, in Quebec City, they have a ice bar. So you can go in and you can like wear a jacket and drink vodka. And there's also a hotel in there where it's like you're like in an igloo, and they have a bed and you can sleep in it. And somehow the ice hotel caught on fire. Now, it doesn't really talk about how that happened, but I thought that was interesting, because it also leads into another flame, except this one is flaming out. So if you are a fan of hockey and Jaromir Jagr, you will be saddened to know that the ageless man is being phased out of the Calgary Flames, and they're looking for a way for his exit. Now, hopefully he can make his way to the Capitals, because what a better way to finish your career than with the Washington Capitals and being disappointed in the second round of the playoffs. I thank you for tuning in for this week. We do this every Thursday. You can find us on facebook.com/otbp20xx. You can tune in to Crimes and Treasons on Tuesdays, or you can listen to the podcast. You can find them all on citr.ca. Till next week.